Business Bunker Show. We're on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
Hello.
Paul Andrews.
You all right?
Yeah, I am now. I'm finally here. But do you know what? These cars are very smart.
What?
These new cars are very far too smart.
You haven't got a new car. You've got a second-hand one.
Well, I've had it from you, darling.
You didn't, you fibber.
Yeah, it's 1 year old, straight from Mercedes. It was a Mercedes promo car.
Was it? I thought you bought it second hand.
No, well, it was 1 year old. Is that second hand? Yes.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, but it's 1 year old. You're making it sound like I'm a very muffled.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I think you do muffle me on purpose, just when you're in one of those moods. Oh, that's better. Turn me up now. Hmm. You know Wayne's listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Hello, Wayne.
He'll probably be having a little coffee now and biscuits. And
yeah, right. Anyway, you were talking about your car.
Yeah, so,
and you've broken it again.
Well, it went in for that Knox and the, what is it called, the AdBlue thing, yet again. And I'm annoyed with you for calling it second-hand now. I've got ratty.
It is second-hand. You didn't buy it brand new, did you?
I'm going to send you the logbook if they're called
logbook. No, but you didn't buy it brand new, did you?
Yeah.
It wasn't a brand new car.
No,
it was second-hand.
I was very impressed. When I got it, I was very impressed because it had been used as a Mercedes something or other.
So it was used?
On a track.
If it's been used as a track car, it was knackered.
Not as much as your Fiesta.
I once destroyed two Porsches in one day on a track day.
Did you? Well, when I had my Lotus Esprit when I was a JPS girl in the distant future, or past, whatever it was, there were five cars, okay? So some MG, Lotus MG, is that a thing?
Right.
They had little black MG things. And then the Lotus Esprits, of which there were three, which I had one.
Mm-hmm.
The other two got written off in Cowfields, you know, where the girls just went off around the corner because they're fast.
I wrote
in here today.
Yeah. I wrote off 2 968s, but that was deliberate.
And that was your Porsches?
Yeah.
What, you did it for fun?
Yeah, absolutely. I was invited to a Porsche track day, and they gave us some 968s to mess around with and do stupid stuff with.
Anyway, so my Mercedes, which I love, which is only was 1 year old when I got it and had hardly been
used. Second-hand, but it's
hardly been used. I would never buy a new car, actually, because...
Get on with it, right.
But the minute you buy a new car and you drive it off the forecourt...
Yeah, you lose all the money.
You've lost money, so I always buy one that's a 1 year old or 2 year old.
And then get the hump when people say it's second-hand.
Get the hump when people like you, get uppity about it and prove points. So I got in it this morning, and it'd been in the garage for its Knox, and I didn't drive it yesterday.
Mm.
So I got in and it was going vroom, vroom, and I thought, oh, what's going on? Because it sort of stops itself and puts its own little brake on all by itself. It's very clever.
Mm.
But I never use the big handbrake, which is ridiculous calling it a handbrake because you do it with your foot, don't you?
Yeah.
It's not like the old click thing.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it, and I got sort of round the corner of my house and thought, I can't drive. Called Mercedes, they didn't answer. So I go, who did I call?
You called me.
Not Ghostbusters.
I can't get my handbrake off.
And you're right, there's a little tray that you pull, but it didn't work. So I quickly had to move half, because I come with a lot of gear, I had to move into the dog car. I'm now in the dog car.
But did you get hold of Mercedes eventually?
No, I will do on the way home.
And have a right go at them because they've actually seized your handbrake.
How am I actually going to get it back to the garage?
They'd have to come in and sort it out, won't they? As soon as they caused it, they'll have to come and sort it out.
So you are the go-to. There's no point calling my new husband because he was walking Darcy Greyhound. He didn't have his phone.
Mm.
Plus, without being rude, if he's listening, he's not very techie.
But it's no good asking me either. I couldn't do anything about it, could I?
Well, you're quite good, though. You are always quite good on cars.
But
you are my go-to car man.
Yeah, but
karaoke if I have to sing something.
But I can't do anything about it. I was there, you were there. You were going, my brake don't work. Well, what do you want me to do?
But you were very helpful. You were the one that made me decide, leave the car. So I sort of kangaroo hopped it to the verge, and I've left it out in the road. And I had to transfer everything, like my water bottle, my coffee, my homeopathy, my great big handbag, my coat, my sunglasses.
Mm.
And, of course, in the dog car, there's no sat-nav or anything. Yeah. There's nothing. Heating.
I found a really neat feature on my new car this morning.
Can you work it now?
No. No, I can't work
it. You've got a very new car. I must just say, in the studio, we've got Matt, Blue Moxie. Mm. And we've got Gareth, who has brought in some very amazing... what's that? Tell me your company again.
Econ Polyurethane.
Econ Polyurethane. Thanks for that. I can't really say that because I've got the dog's teeth in. It's all been very fraught this morning.
Yeah, just say Econ.
But he's brought in, look, I just thought something had fallen out the ceiling this morning. We've got this lovely...
Well, that's where it goes.
Yeah.
In the ceiling and stuff, yeah.
Insulation.
That's a block of polyurethane, that is.
I could do with this all over my windows when the north wind blows.
Yeah, yeah.
I was telling Gareth...
The only drawback to that is you wouldn't see out of them. But no, apart from that, it'll be fine.
I know.
Anyway, what were you waffling about before that?
Well, I can't remember really. About cars, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
About my car.
Yeah, you were waffling.
I've got an app on my phone that controls...
How to drive your car.
No. And there's a thing on it that says you can put the heater on before you get in the car. And it was really frosty this morning.
That's like the Volvo one.
Yeah, well, I thought, I'm having that.
Yeah.
So I put it on, and I'm watching it out the window. It's pointless, really, because I've got to watch it. I'm sitting there. I might just as well have gone out and started the car. But anyway, I was in the warm watching it.
Why were you watching it, in case it trundled off?
Well, I wanted to see what it was doing.
Because you never know if it would trundle off.
I don't know if it drove off or something, you know, drove around a block or whatever.
It could do.
Yeah. Anyway, I put it on, and I could see the window start to defrost, and then all of a sudden it stopped. So I Google it, and it says, yeah, it uses the ambient heat from the engine. Well, of course, because the engine wasn't running, there wasn't much ambient heat. So after about 30 seconds, it stopped defrosting. It was a bit useless.
If you had an electric car, which yours isn't, is it? It's not a hybrid or anything.
No.
If you had an electric car, you'd probably have run out of the electricity just doing
that.
Well,
it would have drained the battery. I mean...
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was listening on the way in, because in the dog car, I haven't even got a decent radio. I've got a very old radio.
Mm.
So I had to first of all listen to Jeremy Wine for a while. But which was really interesting because it was about Turkey and Syria, so I stayed listening to that. And, you know, obviously we're all thinking about people in Syria.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the moment. And the weather is cold there as well at the moment. So let's hope they get the help that they need. But I was listening after Jeremy Wine, I switched over and was listening to Heart, which was a bit painful. But that's all I can get on my radio, that or Radio 4.
Why?
Which was a bit earnest. I've got a really old radio in the dog car. The dog doesn't listen to the radio
much. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I can't remember why I was saying that.
I have no idea why you're waffling about that. Who knows?
But our dog car is so old. It's done 230,000 miles. It's great. Yeah. It's a Honda CRV.
She bought it off for a Flintstone.
It's the best car yet. My feet go through the bottom. I can run as fast as I want.
Yeah.
But you can't put the heater on. It smells horrible and you get all the like petrol fumes.
Right, so okay.
That's why I've got 10,000 layers on.
Right, okay.
But anyway... This we're going to be hearing about this later on about insulation.
We're going to be talking to Matt and Gareth
and a bit of SEO
possibly.
If
we ever get a word in edgeways, we'll be talking to them.
We always need a bit of SEO.
Yeah, exactly. I've had a tweet from Michael Park Surveyors, and they say we're looking forward to tuning into the Business Bunker Show today. Can we have a shout out, please? Well, yes, you can. It's Michael Park Surveyors, everything commercial property in the southeast of England.
And the lovely Wayne Cullington is having a little coffee. Says, good afternoon, Jules and Paul, putting me first.
Hello, Wayne.
Putting me first, of course. In your nearly new cars. Well, his is new, but he can't drive it. He says, love the banter. Listening to Jeremy Vine. Oh, dear. I only listen for 10 minutes.
Wayne, don't listen to Jeremy Vine.
No.
That's my advice to you.
Exactly. Listen to us. We had quite a few tweets, I noticed.
Yeah, I Trust Assurance have tweeted me. Can we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please? Of course you can.
And if you're listening in, you can follow the Blue Moxie Agency on at Blue Moxie, M-O-X-I-E, Agency, to see what they're up to.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, if you're listening, you can... Not Matt, Wayne, you can listen to that. And I was going to read you something. We got the Taste of Kent Awards.
Oh, yeah.
Because I am quite peckish at the moment. Had a very rushed breakfast.
What did you have?
You'd hate it. I had my green smoothie. So if you want to know what was in it?
Yeah, go on.
So all organic. I had spinach, a carrot, a celery, an apple... Ginger, you'd like the ginger. Big ginger.
It's like pig's swill, really, isn't it? It's like the things that they feed pigs. You know, you've got just a big bucket of cast-off vegetable bits that
it's
you put...
It's not cast-off.
Yeah, it is.
It's all brand new.
It's pig swill.
Organic marine collagen for my joints and bones and things.
What animal does that come from?
Fish. Marine.
You've got a fish in there.
Yeah, marine collagen. It would generally be a fish. What do you think it would be? A submarine?
I don't know. So you dunked a fish in there. How did you get it in there?
I actually buy it already powdered.
I knew it wasn't real. I knew it wasn't a real fish.
I'm not getting the koi out of my pond.
Yeah, exactly.
And the koi in my pond, you haven't even asked me about that lately. They're doing really well.
Are they?
They're new. And we've stopped feeding them, you know, because we thought we could feed them all through winter, because some people say you can.
Mm.
But apparently that's not good to do, because then they don't hibernate properly.
Right.
So we've stopped feeding them. But they're all milling around. It's really nice.
Aren't they hibernating?
Well, they're sort of milling around, waiting to hibernate, perhaps.
Are they?
Because you don't know what you're doing, do you, with all this one day hot, next day cold, frost, snow. They don't know what they're doing.
Have you waved your juicer at them just so they keep, you know, just so they know what the future holds?
I really don't fancy ground up koi.
Okay.
I'm sure there's something better in my marine collagen.
Right, so you had this horrible vegetable.
Yeah, I had that, but I have brought my little boiled egg in a jam jar for later.
Okay. Oh, have you seen eggs? Eggs are dangerous now.
Oh, what's wrong with them?
Well, they cause blood clots now.
Oh, no. We know what causes blood
clots.
We know why they're saying that. Yeah. I am the queen of microclots.
Yeah.
I'm clotting as we speak. So Taste of Kent Awards, nominations are open for the Taste of Kent Awards, and this is open to any food and drink business in Kent. The awards have been refined into three key areas. So we've got number one product, Taste Awards, which I should be tasting those. Hospitality and Retail Awards, we've got great hospitality in Kent. And Business Awards. So you can go to tasteofkentawards.co.uk, put a little slash, a forward slash, I like, and go on to the awards bit, and you can nominate your preferred small, lovely hospitality business. I went to the Falstaff Hotel, or Falstaff, in Canterbury.
In Canterbury, yeah.
Yeah.
I stayed there once.
Why? Were you homeless?
No, it was one of the boys was graduating school, and I had to be there early, so I stayed there overnight, the night before, or something like that.
It's very nice. I actually was there. I first of all dropped my Mercedes off, and you know they want there at 8 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
Which really annoys me because I really
and you wanted to go back to bed,
yeah.
So you got a hotel room. So you drove to the the car dealer, dropped your car off, and then went into a hotel and had a little kip until lunchtime.
I actually got up at the crack of dawn to get it there at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Knowing full well they probably won't even look at it till 3 p.m.
Yeah,
they always
yeah.
do that to me. Anyhow, so then I went and had a little breakfast at the Good Shed. Do you want to ask me what I had?
Yeah, go on.
All Kentish. So I had Bubble and Squeak,
right?
With beautiful, it was very, very nice, with morcilla, Spanish black pudding.
Oh, right, yeah.
Is it morcilla?
Morcilla. Yeah, blood sausage.
Say it like a Spaniard, morcilla.
Yeah.
Lots of black pudding, blood sausage, as you call it, and eggs, of course, and mushrooms, and it was absolutely divine, all piled up the way chefs
do.
Yeah. So I had a little coffee and my breakfast there. And then I started chatting to Susanna, the owner, and sort of stayed there for a while. Then I went for a walk along the canal.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't get back to home because my car was in the garage. Right. And then I phoned them about 2 o'clock and said, is it ready? And they go, oh, no, we haven't looked at it yet. Typical. So I toddled up to the Falstaff, of which I know the owner. And I'm just... I did text him once at 10:30 at night when I was there, rather inebriated, saying his nibbles weren't up to scratch.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Is that a euphemism? Or yeah.
I have a habit of calling people late at night.
No.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, 4 o'clock in the morning. 4 o'clock in the morning, my phone rings. I'm fast asleep. My phone rings. It's her in Morella in Spain. I'm doing karaoke, Paul, and I can't think what to sing next. What do you recommend?
I've gone blank. Anyway,
I recommend you shut up and go away, is what I said.
I sang a really good song. Anyway, so went to the Falstaff, texted the owner to say I was there. And I thought I'd try cocktails, but of course I can't have too many because I'm going to be driving later.
Mm.
But I had a very nice lychee cocktail.
Lychee. They're horrible.
Really nice. Served in a little coop. Well, it wasn't whole. It was all mangled up, wasn't it? Like a cocktail.
You like mangled stuff, don't you?
Yeah.
You like mangled leftovers. Yeah. Bubble and Sweets mangled leftovers as well.
Slipped down a treat, it did. And there's a pub next door. I don't know what it's called. Is it the Lady Luck or one of those? Very raucous people next door, because I sat in the garden.
And next door to the Falstaff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it the Lady Luck or one
I
of
those? I don't know.
But very raucous people, having much more fun than I was waiting for my car. Yeah. So I thought I might hop over the fence, join them.
Mm.
Anyway, great. So support your local Falstaff hotels and all your independents. That's what I say.
Go there for your chopped leftover vegetables. Yeah.
Do you know what I do now to be even more frugal?
No, go on.
Well, when I, you know, when you're doing your broccoli and you, nobody ever wants the great big stalk, do they?
I do.
Do you eat the whole stalk?
I eat the whole stalk.
Great big thick bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you? Do you, Matt?
And yeah, and cauliflower hearts.
Do you, Gareth? No. So what I do, cauliflower hearts.
Yeah.
What's that? The bit at the bottom.
The big stemmy bit at the bottom.
Do you eat that?
Yeah, yeah, raw.
Right. Oh, you mean raw?
Yeah, yeah.
Uncooked. Okay, sorry, I thought you wanted me to do a lion impression.
No, that's right, no, you're a Gemini.
Hurt my throat doing that.
Yeah.
So anyway, what I do with those bits that nobody else wants except you is I cut them off, pop them in the fridge, so like carrot tops and all that, and all your bits of stalk that you might not want to eat, pop them in, and then I add them to soups. And then you blitz the soup, and you don't know it's got a carrot top in it and things.
Okay.
And actually, that's where all the goodness is.
Right.
So I'm being very frugal at the moment because our electric bill and our gas bill has gone.
Don't even get me. Don't even start on that.
It's terrible.
What was yours?
Well, the last one was 700. That was Christmas.
Do you want to know what they charged me for?
That was us being careful.
Do you want to know what they charged me for November and January? November and December.
I have a feeling I'm going to hear.
£2,108.
And you've only got a caravan.
Yeah, they sent me an email yesterday. They go, we suggest you put your monthly direct debit up to £980 a month.
Who are you with?
Huh?
Who are you with?
Octopus.
You're with the worst company ever, aren't you? Didn't they go bankrupt?
No. They've just taken over Bulb. Oh. No, Octopus claim that all of their electricity is 100% renewable. So they can't tell me why they charge so much for it. I know why, but
why don't you have a look at utility?
You can't switch at the moment.
Oh, they won't let you switch?
No wonder. If you go to the comparison websites, they're all turned off.
Really?
Yeah, you can't switch anywhere.
Why is that then?
Because
everybody would want to.
Because everybody would try and switch, and nobody's cheaper anyway, because everything's... Guess what? Guess who controls all of this?
Ofcom.
Ofgem.
I was going to say, it's an off someone.
It's an off. Yeah. It's always an off.
Anyone with off in the title.
The reason... You know, everybody's having a go at Shell and BP for all their profits, yeah? But what they've completely ignored is that gas is at the lowest price it's been for about 5 years at the moment on the spot market.
But it's not passed on to us.
No, because Ofgem control it. Mm. And Ofgem have a price cap on it. And it's why, even if you don't have gas, it's why your electricity is so high, because your electricity is priced at the same price as the highest price they pay for gas.
It's all a joke. And I was going to ask you another thing, because you're quite good on all this. Corporation tax, has that just gone up?
It's about to go April, yeah.
What is the point of putting up corporate? Isn't that going to smash again small businesses?
Yeah.
SMEs?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So they've already got gas, energy price. We'll be talking to Gareth and Matt about this, but we've already got all these awful things for small businesses. And they're going to clobber us yet again.
Yeah, it's typical politicians that don't live in the real world. You know, the fact is, it's like anything. If you put the prices up, then less people buy it. You know, the fact is, for my businesses this year, for the first time in 22 years, my business hasn't made a profit. So they're actually going to earn zero. They can put corporation tax up as high as they like, but they're not getting any money because they didn't make any profit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just.
Well, my hairdresser in London, their bill has gone up to £1,000 a month or a week. I can't remember, but he's freaking.
For energy?
Yeah.
Oh, business energy is through the roof. It's ridiculous.
But then he has to pass that on to customers, exactly. And then the customer can't afford it.
I'm just about to have my new co-working space in Tenterton. We're just having the electricity put on at the moment. Mm. And there is no one on the site, and there is no electricity being used. And at the moment, they're predicting £35,000 a year for the bills.
It is crazy. So what is the point?
Yeah.
You might as well just stay in bed.
Yep.
Which is why we were saying last week that there are so many more people that are on benefits now.
Yep.
I'm just answering Wayne because he's mentioning.
Okay, right. What I'm going to do is play some Cheesy Tunage.
What is it going to be?
Well, you tell me. You're the tune queen.
Oh, oh God, I know this. Oh, it's annoying me.
It's Guy Mitchell.
I never felt more like singing the blues.
Blues, the blue. I never felt more like singing the blues.
Who sings it?
Guy Mitchell.
Not Grant Mitchell. You're lovely. Why do you do me this way? Well, I never felt more like crying all night. Cause everything's wrong and nothing ain't right. Without you, you got me singing the blues. The moon and stars no longer shine. The dream is gone, I thought was mine. There's nothing left for me to do. Cry over you.
Cry over you.
Well, I never felt more like running away. But why should I go? Cause I couldn't stay without you. You got me singing the blues. Felt more like singing the blues, cause I never thought that I'd ever lose your love. Why do you do me this way? Well, I never felt more like crying all night, cause everything's wrong and nothing ain't right without you. You got me singing the blues. Oh, the moon and stars no longer shine. The dream is gone, I thought was mine. There's nothing left for me to do. Cry over you.
Cry over you.
Well, I never felt more like running away. But why should I go? Cause I couldn't stay without you. You got me singing the blues.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Guy Mitchell.
I love
singing the blues.
I don't know him, but I know the song really well, so I think it must have been covered by other people.
It's been covered by loads of people, yeah.
But I love a whistle, don't you?
Yeah.
In a song. You don't get that nowadays, do you? A whistle.
Whistle.
Yeah, I do love a whistle.
Give a little whistle.
Yeah. Do you know, I'm very upset with Vodafone, because it's the only company, phone company, I can get a signal with.
Right.
Because I live on the seafront, as you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was with Tesco O2, which was great. It was really reasonable, but I couldn't get a decent... My phone would ring and I wouldn't hear it.
So why have you been upset by Vodafone?
Well, because they've suddenly just texted me. They've never done this before. So they're obviously trying to get more money. Your bill this month is ready. I've never had that before. It'll include extra charges of £2.20 because you sent some MMS. These can be picture messages, long texts or texts with emojis. So they want to claw, in other words, another £3.50 a month for, you know, so I can send more. But I've been doing that for years. I haven't done anything different. So they've obviously decided to claw back even a bit
more.
Yeah,
but don't send text messages. Send WhatsApp messages instead.
I know, but some people, I do.
She's a nightmare. Gareth, she's a nightmare. She'll text me and I'll reply and then she'll reply on WhatsApp. So I reply on WhatsApp, and then she'll text me.
Well, I do it to annoy him. I mean, there's
she
no
does,
other reason.
She does, and it works. Yeah. Trust me.
I wake up in the morning, Gareth, and think, how can I annoy Paul
she
Andrews?
She does. This
today?
Isn't a lie.
It's, yeah. It's my raison d'etre.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also the reason she's alive. Right. Anyway, let's talk to somebody sensible. Let's talk to Matt, shall we?
Let's talk.
Singing the Blues was in homage to Matt and his company, Blue Moxie, digital company. Matt, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
How you doing?
Yeah, cool. Thank you, mate. Good to see you. Why don't we kick off by you telling the listeners a little bit about Matt. Tell us a bit about your background.
My background, well, the plan was never marketing. I worked on all my grades at school to get what I wanted to do, and that right. was to join the Navy.
Join the Navy?
Exactly, right. And that's exactly what I did.
Right.
And so I never really even thought about marketing. I never followed that route. The only things I did follow
right.
was business at school and in sixth form.
Okay.
So was that what you enjoyed at school?
Well,
side?
It was kind of in my blood. My dad had a string of antique shops.
Right.
So
okay.
all the way growing up, I was playing around with French swords and
wow.
and muskets, because it was a lot of militaria that he brought and sold. So
lovely.
Kind of brought that in. And
where did you grow up?
I grew up in Gillingham.
Okay. Right.
And that's also where the kind of the Navy views come from, because my yeah. granddad was in the Navy, so was my dad.
Right. So what did you do in the Navy?
So I was a warfare specialist.
Right, okay.
In basic
troublemaker.
Yep.
What do you...
In simple terms, I fired the big guns on them.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
In very simple terms. There is obviously other roles within
wow.
that. But, when you leave the Navy, there's not much cool in civilian life for people who can shoot people. So.
Yeah.
Well,
well, I don't know. So, were you on board ship?
Yeah, I was on HMS Dragon.
Right, okay.
After doing my my training at Raleigh, which is a training camp.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was put onto HMS Dragon, served mainly in the Caribbean.
Right.
So had a tan most of the time, which was nice.
Cool. And how long did you serve, Matt?
So 3 years.
Right, okay.
Well, 4 years, including basic and everything. Right. So which I enjoyed it. I loved it. It was always going to be the plan. I started getting a bit homesick, so decided I was going to come back and just kind of get a new job
yeah.
and do something different. And at 21, going on just about 22, I found myself unemployed for the first time in my life.
Right.
And it was like weird. I've never not done benefit training. I've never done any of that in my whole life.
Yeah.
I've never taken a penny. And so I was a bit confused and lost. And it was my dad that said, why didn't you get some kind of apprenticeship? And I was like, yeah, cool, like, just apply for anything. Weren't really thinking about it, didn't really care what direction I went. I was looking for stuff that could, the wage could grow, as we all want to do.
Mm.
And I came across an apprenticeship role in a little company called McDonald's in North London, in their marketing department.
Right.
And effectively, I joined them, and I learned the social media side of my business through talking about burgers and chips.
Right. So it was the McDonald's.
The McDonald's.
Okay, right.
Yeah, McDonald's UK. And so I was working on lots of campaigns, and that was from radio to video and social. That was bringing together all of the elements of the campaign.
Were you loving it? Did you see what I did there? Were you loving it?
Free advertising. I really enjoyed it. It taught me everything I did. I grew within the company. I moved up within the department, and but I kind of got bored after about 25-ish. So only a couple of years ago. But in the meantime, whilst I was there, I was doing a bit of freelance work.
Right.
So I was topping up, helping out the odd friend that's got a business. So one of my friends is a fencer. So I was just doing like websites. I was doing a bit of SEO. I was doing social media for them. I was creating their adverts, going down, filming basic videos on my phone to help my friends grow. And then I started picking up your client here and there. So it was still going like that. But then I decided I got bored of talking about burgers and chips every day, and I wanted to change into an agency. Yeah. And so I thought the agency.
You decided to go large, didn't you?
Yeah.
with extra.
The agency idea was that I would be working on different projects, right. Which was correct. I can't name the agency I moved to because I'm under an NDA because I left.
Right.
But I moved to this agency whose specialist was SEO. I'd already kind of, before that, taken some courses and been working on it myself over the last kind of 3 years whilst I was at McDonald's on learning the trade, doing my own website. I had a little e-commerce business going at the time. So it was all went towards that. So I moved into this agency in London who weren't very ethical, which I only found out once I went in to...
In what way, Matt?
So they would lie on results, effectively. So yeah. it would mask results. And it kind of creates some of my USP that I have now for Blue Moxie. It was always about traffic and not the customer actually making money. Mm. And as businesses, what matters is our bottom line.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how frugal it was. We would get bonuses based on how long we could tie clients into contracts.
Oh.
Mm.
And so for me, that was like, that's not my efforts. And the day I walked out was the day I was sitting down working on a project, and my manager came over and said, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm working on this," and he was like, "No, we've done on that. We're moving on to the next task." And I was like, "Well, I need another 20 minutes to sign this off for the client." Hmm. And his words were, "The client won't know the difference."
Oh,
and so that was the final straw for me, that I was being taught how to create reports that mask bad results.
Yeah,
in order to keep the contract going.
Yeah.
And so that was the final straw for me. Then I left. I just left that day. I walked out mid-shift and I was like, nah, done.
Mm.
And I was unemployed for the second time in my life.
I wonder what they ever told the client that you suddenly weren't there. Mm. And
I wish I knew. That would be an interesting conversation. Yeah. Cause I was
it's one of the problems with a lot of this, isn't it? Is that... One, there's quite a lot of fabricated stuff. I mean, you quite often see people go, "We've had 10,000 visits to our blog or whatever," and you go, "Really? Really? Really? I really don't think you have." And because people cite these large numbers, then somebody comes along and cites even larger numbers to try to prove themselves. But at the end of the day, the numbers, as you just said, Matt, are completely irrelevant to the achievement. You can have 10 people look at a website, but if all 10 people bought something, it's better than a million people looking at a website and nobody buying anything. Yeah. So it's about getting the right metric, not just silly numbers. It's not the people that post stuff just to get likes. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Absolutely. It's what created my USP for Blue Moxie.
Mm.
Our report meetings now, but I always just talk about it as a kind of, it's going to be a negative meeting.
Mm.
What we're going to put up on the board. So what I do is I give you a document. They're all the pretty numbers. They're the nice numbers that you want to see, all your traffic and all of your contacts, all that kind of stuff. But the numbers I'm going to put up on the monitor for us are all the stuff that didn't work, all the bad stuff.
Mm.
And because the reason I want to do that is tell you, look, this is what didn't work, and this is what we're going to focus on this month.
Yeah.
So you know, like, this is the great stuff, but this is the bad stuff, and we're rectifying that. And then there will always be that point next month or halfway through the month where I can go, this is fixed now.
Yeah.
This is now working. And so the client feels like they're getting value for money along with what we're doing.
Yeah.
And that builds what Blue Moxie is about.
That's really cool. And you're absolutely right. I have a number of stats packages on some of my websites. And quite frankly, the stats packages themselves are pretty useless. When you actually drill down and you go, right, well, what are you actually showing me? Yeah, it doesn't actually show you what they claim it does a lot of the time. You know, a lot of it's just nonsense. It's like I have one stats package that doesn't recognize Safari as a browser. So it just ignores anything that comes from, you go, what's the point of that? And also, just for what it's worth, we stopped using Google Analytics because as a radio station, we've got a live radio player. And when anybody clicks on that, Google thinks you've left the website. So it stops recording any hits to it. It's just pointless. As a radio station, we got no traffic at all, according to Google, because everyone was listening to the player. So, some of these stats packages just in and of themselves need a lot more work in terms of, it's not just looking at the bare numbers. You have to interpret what you're doing and what worked and what didn't. And that's the point, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's about focusing on revenue, not numbers. Yeah. Numbers that affect the bottom line. It's about how many, so for a B2B business, how many customers have come in and how many of those are converted. So then we can put an actual number minus what we've charged and there's the money you've made.
And that's what you've made. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Matt, are you still doing websites as well?
Yeah, so we're a full digital agency. I'm an SEO personally. It's what I love doing. Mm. We do social media. We do website building, email marketing, and we also do a bit of TV advertising for some of the larger companies that we work with. Right. And so there's also photography in there, drone work, all that kind of stuff. Hmm. We've been working with a few different football clubs at the moment, just working on promo videos.
Matt's a Gillingham supporter.
Oh. I am. Yeah. Unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, we're on the way up now.
Yeah. They got a new owner.
Yeah. Who is it?
It's an American guy called Brad.
All right.
Yeah.
Not Pitt.
No. And they seem to have turned a bit of a corner, which is good.
So tell us who you're looking for. What kind? Do you go for a kind of client?
No.
Or?
So I'm very picky with who I work with.
You're picky?
I am picky.
Love a picky person.
I say no to clients more than I say yes. So when I get a
why do you say no, Matt?
Because if I don't believe I can show positive results in a reasonable amount of time, I won't work with people that I can't show results quickly.
Right.
I want to work on projects that I'm probably going to enjoy. Mm. Because if you're not passionate about what you're marketing, there's going to be no energy in what you're saying or what you're doing, and you're not going to really bother. You're just going to be posting on social media for the sake of posting on social media. But then if I can go down and create some videos with the team and they're really engaged, I can create great content to get people on. But if I went into someone's office and when I'm doing a discovery call, I do what I call a discovery meeting where I go and hang out with the team for a few hours. Mm. If I get the vibe that these guys aren't going to be very sociable, I would have a chat with the MD and be like, look, I want to try something, or we might try something. We'll create a video there and then and see who gets involved. Mm. But if I can't get the energy from the staff, it's going to be hard to do social media.
Yeah.
So then in cases like that, you can focus just on SEO, and that's where I just need a point of contact that's very knowledgeable, can fact check and answer questions. So when we're copywriters churning out content, they can scan it and go, yeah, that's great. That reads correct. The facts in there are correct. And that can work away from that. But social media is very much on the basis of the staff that have got the right energy as well, is that we can include them, because ultimately with marketing on social media is people like the human element, the real face, the smile, not the stock image of an American painting a wall.
Yeah.
You know, they want to see the bloke from Ashford painting a wall.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Real people. And how much do you ask your client to give for content? Do you sort of have to nudge them? Because that's what I used to do. I used to sort of nudge. Most of my hospitality, but I'd go in and take pictures, say, of the chef or the food or the whatever.
So we go down once a month for our social media clients, and I call it a social day, and we go down there and we create all the content for the month in that one day. We tell the staff, bring in four or five different jumpers, T-shirts, whatever, so we can create all the content in one day, get it over and done with. But then I've got other clients that are amazing on top of that, that also I put through an idea and say, oh, is it XYZ Awareness Day? How about I put a silly hat on? And they'll do that and take a picture because they're really engaged and they see what comes back from it.
Yeah.
So it's vice versa. You get two different types of clients. But we always have like a WhatsApp group so I can nudge them and annoy them.
Right.
And that works great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, it's all about the content, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And, so many companies struggle with the content. Although there's no reason for them to struggle with the content, I think it's fear more than anything else. You know, because almost everyone's got content if they think about it.
Don't you think that I find, my husband's a journalist, he can write for England, but he is really bad at posting anything and I have to really nudge him. And it's almost like some academic people overthink it.
Yeah.
That's what I think anyway, because I have to drag it out of him. Come on, you need to tweet something or you need to put something on LinkedIn. Mm. He's a writer.
Yeah.
So it should be easy for him.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because most social media platforms, though, aren't looking for a full article on anything. You're basically headline writing. And Gavin's a proper journalist, and he's a financial journalist. Whereas what you want's a Sun headline writer, isn't it? Really, Freddie Starr at my hamster, kind of thing. Yeah.
So I actually put into my calendar daily slots for writing and posting,
right?
For my personal self marketing,
right?
Then the account managers have also got it on their calendars to comment and write. But it's also more about not just about writing the content, but engaging on other people's posts.
Exactly. Yeah.
So by your face, your name appearing below on a non-related subject, we go, oh, who's this person? That's a good thought. That's a good opinion. They come through. They follow you, and then this great content you're creating, they will start seeing. And
yeah.
But that's what it's about. To gain those followers, you need to be genuine. And it's what we put on our social media packages, is something called engagement time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And in fact, Twitter posted something a couple of weeks ago exactly to that effect, saying that people that don't engage, people that just post, sales messages or whatever, will not get the engagement that other people will unless they start to talk to people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right.
Elon has started deactivating accounts that are inactive. If you haven't posted for ages, he's starting to remove those because he sees them either as kind of spam bots or people that have left the platform and left an account there open. He doesn't want...
Absolutely. I mean, it's amazing. I'm just launching a new business on the Isle of Sheppey. So I've been looking for accounts on the Isle of Sheppey to follow, and almost every account I could find by searching on social media last posted in 2017 or 2018 or something.
You've only got John Nurden.
John was a good one because I just looked at who followed John really and then followed them.
Yeah.
But so many dead accounts, as you say, or accounts that are just inactive, that haven't done anything for years. And you think, well, why even bother to have them there? But that was one of Elon Musk's big things when he bought Twitter, wasn't it? Was actually you keep telling me you got 4 billion accounts, but how many of them are bots and how many of them are dead accounts? Mm. And of course they didn't know because they never bothered to check.
Well, it is hard as a Twitter person. Most of my social media is on Twitter. And I'm sure I follow loads of people that no longer tweet because I used to have that app, what was it called, where you could just find out who'd unfollowed you. And then they stopped you doing that. I can't remember what that was.
So I'm sure that.
I knew you would.
So it's an app called Unfollow. You have to watch a cheesy kind of advert before you see the list of people that unfollow. But it literally tells you who hasn't tweeted since, the date they haven't tweeted since. You can remove people who have unfollowed. I'll tweet it a bit later with a link to it.
Thank you. He's a good person to know, isn't he?
He certainly is. Yeah. Hey, do you know what else it is today?
Daily App Day? I don't know.
No.
Celebrate App Day?
No. It's Blue Moxie's first anniversary.
Is it?
Yep.
Today is the first anniversary of Matt's business. Yeah,
I want to ask Matt a personal question, which is, sorry, I'm videoing as well at the same time. What is your star sign? Because you have done so much and you're still a young
I'm a Libra.
Are you a Libra? So that's well balanced. That's October, isn't it?
Yeah, October 3rd.
Yeah, very well balanced. But
she's a witch.
Yeah, you seem to have done so much, and you're obviously like absolutely on fire for all of this. You know, from your navel. So you must have got a lot of discipline from your navel.
Excuse me, do we have to talk about parts of his body?
From your navel work, your work in the Navy, you must have got the discipline side.
I think it's more the structure.
Yeah.
So structure's important to me. I get very funny if things aren't done in the right order.
Yeah.
Because
that's your Libra well balanced.
Yeah, that's how it has to be done in that order, otherwise it's not gonna work. Mm. So I can't miss any steps, and that works great. And so I think discipline and structure, like my day has to be structured. I have to know what I'm doing, where I'm going. Right, it's 20 minutes to drive from here to here.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got 10 minutes to go in Costa. If I'm running late, Costa's gone. You know,
you could go to an independent shop, of course, Matt, of which I'm a big fan.
Of course.
It's hard to find them, isn't it?
Yeah, especially...
When you're on the road.
Yeah, especially, like, when you go down the motorway, it's always Costas or...
Yeah, of course.
Well, they're all franchised whole buildings, aren't they? Yeah. So they've got the McDonald's in there, which is a franchise. They've got...
Come and meet me in Whitstable. We've got some lovely independent
coffee. I love Whitstable.
I will buy you a coffee.
I would love that. I can't
and
remember
cake.
I can't remember what it's called. I went to a lovely restaurant down on the pier. You had to go around the industrial estate, and it's like a seafood restaurant on the opposite side.
Oh, yeah. It's, when you say the industrial estate, that's Brett's. You're on the harbour there with the big thing that comes out.
You feel like you're going to get stuck as you're walking through.
So you were at the lobstery place.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's owned by the Greens, Barry Green and Sons.
Yeah.
Very good,
that's great. I love an oyster.
Meet me there. We'll have oysters and wine.
Absolutely.
And beer. Cool.
I'll tell you a brief funny story. I went to Alicante recently.
As you do.
And we got there. I went into a seafood restaurant. And they said, we have oysters. And they were like, they're Whitstable oysters. And it was like they were exotic. And I was just like, I'm happy with that.
Oh, how funny. So you went to Alicante and they gave you Whitstable oysters.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because, of course, the oysters used to be cheap, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, you'd have oyster pie in Victorian days and things like that. And now they're quite sought after.
It's like... The prisoners that were jailed in Boston following the Boston Tea Party moaned that they were fed a diet of lobsters. Yeah. And couldn't they have proper food, please?
What I find is with lobsters is, I'm going on to food now, but it's often overcooked, and that's my bugbear. You know, sometimes it's really overcooked and a bit dry.
Yeah,
you want a not too overcooked lobster. Yeah.
Matt, thank you so much for joining us and telling us all about Blue Moxie and your background, which is fascinating.
Before he goes, top tip. What's your top tip for anybody listening to start from the beginning if they're just starting a business?
So, top tip, firstly, get your branding and image right. Don't go in there with a poor-looking website. Even if you haven't got much traffic or any SEO or any social media done yet, even if you're cold-calling people are going to Google you, know where you... to find out who you are, and if you don't look professional, they're probably not going to trust you in the early days. And that's without spending any money. You can still do that with the self-builders like Wix and Squarespace, but just make sure you look professional. And then when you bring a professional in like myself at a later date, it's so much easier for us to lift you off. Otherwise, it feels like we'll have to rebrand, and it's like almost like a business launch again and back to square one. So, yeah, get your image right.
Fantastic.
It's important.
Great advice. Matt, if people want to find out about Blue Moxie or engage with you, what's your website? How do people find you?
So our website's bluemoxie.co.uk.
Right.
And we're on Twitter. You can search me, Matt Dorrington, or Blue Moxie Agency. And we're very active on there. So just tweet us, message us, or visit our website and leave us a little contact.
All those links are on the Kent Business Radio website, so you can find them there. For the moment, Matt, thank you so much for that.
No problem.
Right.
And Tracy Ferguson is listening in. She is at Tazy64 on the Twitter. That's Tazi64. She says, interesting conversation with Matt. Agree that a passion and alignment for the person, company, product, service you're working with will support great engagement. So you can find Tracy Ferguson. She is the owner of Plucky's World. She starts conversations and supports self-awareness and growth. She's a mentor, and you can find her on Plucky's World. That's Plucky with a Y-S, pluckysworld.com, and give her a look. She's based in Kent also.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from What's On in Kent, the people that provide an event app. They say, could we have Business Bunker shout out, please? Our team are out and about throughout Kent visiting people, seeing what great places there are around, enjoying the show, guys. So thank you very much for that. Do check out the app. It's a free app. It's called What's On in Kent, and it tells you everything you need to know about what's going on in the coming weeks.
And Sarah Marsh Collins is listening, probably in a lovely sunny Devon, having a little cream tea, no doubt, or Cornwall. Where is she? I always forget.
Devon.
Yeah, Devon. So she is having a cream tea with cream on top.
She might be.
She says, I love the ethics, Matt Dorrington, Blue Moxie Agency. His old agency is exactly the type of company that gives us digital marketeers a bad name and makes it harder to win the trust of potential clients. I suspect I know the agency of which he speaks, she says.
Kim Stevens of Caring Kent has been on. She said, could I have a Business Bunker shout out, please? Do you know someone that loves helping others, has a passion for welfare? Would they make a great carer? Maybe caring is their calling. Well, we're hiring. If you'd like to think about a career in care, call Amy today on Ashford 01233 619530. That's Ashford 01233 619530. Or follow Kim on Twitter. Care in Kent is her Twitter handle.
And the lovely Michael Parts Surveyors have said, very interesting discussion with Matt. So true about vanity metrics, Matt. So Michael Parks Surveyors, you'll find them on Michael Parks with an E-S, P-A-R-K-E-S, .co.uk. They're also based in Rochester, and they are chartered surveyors, commercial property consultants, valuations, leases, property sales and management.
Steph Young, who I think you just mentioned anyway, says, we're tuned in and we're listening to Paul and Jules. Really looking forward to spending the time with you all the way from here in South Africa.
So she's back in South Africa.
She's back in South Africa.
Yeah, because she was in Canada.
She was in Canada. She's back in South Africa now.
She's a globetrotter. Mm-hmm. I'm just going down. Martin Reeves, did you read him out?
No.
So he said, I'd love a Business Bunker shout out to please. Looking forward to today's show and guests, and I wonder what cheesy tune is you'll be spinning. Well, we've spun it. Yeah, with a whistle in.
Yeah.
A whistling man. So Martin Reeves, you'll find him on Buddy Collectors on the Twitter. He's the founder of Collectors Buddy. He has hidden disabilities and mental health. He's seeking a charity to get off the disability allowance, and he wants to fundraise for charities by selling TV and film, toys and props. He's based in Ashford in the UK. You can find him on collectorsbuddy.org.uk. Give him a follow.
Chips and Dinks, it's a great show on the Business Bunker. Keep warm, it's nippy out, they say.
It was, but my windows are all steamed up because we can't afford to put the heating on. So you sort of get awful condensation.
Absolutely.
I think our next guest might have some ideas about awful condensation.
That's quite possible.
You'd have a field day in my house. I've actually got, you know, the car windscreen things, Gareth, that you use to do your screen in your car, what they're called, squidgy, weegee. I've actually got one on my windowsill in my bedroom because I've got double glazing, but it's about, I don't know, 50 years old probably. And the condensation in summer, we have the windows open, but in the winter we don't. We've got the North Sea wind coming through. And literally, it's a river, so I have to do it every morning. And it drips out. I open the windows, it drips out onto the garden underneath. So I'm actually watering the garden at the same time. It's quite handy. Quite handy.
Did you read the Tracy one about banter?
No. Why don't you read it? You do it so sweetly.
Tracy Ferguson says... replying to me and her, always enjoy the lively Business Bunker banter to start the show. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tracy. Thank you for joining
us. I always think that our beginning is basically we moan at each other.
It's you interrupting me. When I know what I'm going to say, and then you start on some rant about something or other.
You know this.
It was car handbrakes this morning, if I remember rightly.
Oh, well, it just wouldn't come off. And I've now abandoned my lovely car in the middle of the road, practically, on the curb.
Yeah.
Probably be stolen when I get back.
Right, well, I'm just catching up with some of your tweets.
I'm going to read out something. So we've got the Battle of Britain.
Oh, right, yeah.
This is a memorial at West Malling.
Yeah.
Or Malling.
Malling. Malling.
Surely it would have a W in it if it was Malling. Anyway, West Malling.
Malling.
Our Spring Sunday talks continue on Sunday the 5th of March with a presentation from Adam Fraser and Catherine Tappenden of Arcadis. So Adam and Catherine will deliver a presentation on the record-breaking world flight from Lymph to Cairo in June 1919 by young Canadian RAF pilot Harry Yates. Yates needed to deliver Harry St. John Philby, who was father of Kim Philby, to Egypt. Everybody's now Googling Harry St. John Philby and father of Kim Philby. To Egypt so that he could negotiate a peace between warring Arab tribes. I love this. This should be a film, Paul Andrews.
Yep.
They were flying in a massive Handley Page 0/400. He left Lymph on the 21st of June and he arrived in Cairo on the 26th. God, that took a long time. I wonder if he had to stop off somewhere and refuel.
Yeah, I'm still laughing over your pronunciation of Kent place names.
Oh, well. What, Malling?
No, the other one.
Malling?
No. The one you just done.
Lymph. I'll tell you, my lymph glands.
Or limb, as it's normally known.
I didn't know what she meant.
Limb.
Now I know.
Oh, I thought it was port lymph.
Port limb.
Well, why is it spelt with a PH in it?
It's Roman, isn't it?
I tell you, my lymph glands under my arm.
The River Rother,
yeah,
as it is now, used to be called the River Limon, which is why it's port limb.
Well, so it's port limb.
Yeah.
It's out on a limb, isn't it, really? Spelling like that.
We nearly had this radio station at Lymm Castle.
That would have been nice.
Yeah.
That would have been cosy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but the walls were too thick.
I love a castle. I remember. Anyway, they were flying in a massive Handley page, of which I pronounced correctly, 0/400. He left Lymm.
That's Lymm, it. You got it.
On the 21st of June and arrived in Cairo. Anat Kelim Arabi, Anat Kelim Kahira.
Yeah. She can pronounce Cairo because she used to live there.
On the 26th. So it took him 5 days?
Yeah.
If you work it out. Location. So this is at the Battle of Britain Memorial at Capel Le Fern. Hope I'm saying that correctly. In Folkestonia. The sat-nav, if you want to go there, is Charlie Tango 18, 7JJ for Jupiter. And the time of day is Sunday the 5th of March. 5th of March is not a good day for me.
Why?
Because it's the day I had my AstraZeneca jab in 2021, of which I'm still suffering. Hence my lymph glands. Pronounced lymph.
Limp.
Yeah.
Your lymph glands are limp.
Yeah. Anyway, you can book. So this is really good. If you want to book, because it sounds fascinating, it's Battle of Britain Memorial in West Malling.
Malling.
You can book by phone. It's 01303-249-292. Or you can email inquiries@battleofbritainmemorial.org. And that's Sunday the 5th of March with a presentation from Adam Fraser and Catherine Tappenden of Arcadis.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
There's the Rye Chamber of Commerce are holding their spring meeting on the 15th of March from 1800 to 2200. That's 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. It's at the Brewery Yard Club, Landgate in Rye. Join us for our first of our quarterly chamber meetings, followed by a delicious Mardi Spice curry supper.
Ooh.
And relaxed networking with your peers.
I always think relaxed networking means they're sort of lying on a chaise longue somewhere.
Mm.
Do you?
I think the Brewery Yard Club is part of Space Co-working down in Rye.
The what?
The Brewery Yard Club.
Okay. Well, Tracy Ferguson is on my side. She's in the Jules team.
Mm.
So she says, Jules, I always get Kent Place names mixed up too. Laughing here as I only have just mastered West Malling, Malling. I mean, if you were up north, you'd say Malling, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but you've lived in Kent 103 years.
I know.
You should know. You should know how to place names around. She calls Item Igatum, yeah?
No.
And as for Trosley, it's, what do you call it? Trotterscliffe.
Yeah, Trotterscliffe.
It's Trosley. Everyone knows it's pronounced Trosley.
It's all wrong. The spelling is all wrong. That's the way. It's Elizabethan or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wayne Cunnington is listening, says, maybe Paul needs a buzzer for the mispronunciations.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Wayne. Oh,
Don't encourage him.
Absolutely.
Have you seen the little bit of insulation that Gareth so kindly brought in so we can have props, because I said I wanted props. And I'm using it to prop my phone up. It's very handy.
It's useful.
Yeah, it needs to be a bit heavier.
We're going to talk to Gareth shortly, but first we're going to join the newsroom.
Gareth shortly. He's quite tall, actually.
He's very tall.
He's about 6'2", 6'3".
No, he's about 6'4", I reckon.
6'4".
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's sitting down. I couldn't
tell. We're going to join the newsroom, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Gareth.
I can't wait.
I'm sure you can't.
Find out about my condensation.
Absolutely.